friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That was Matthew chapter 6, verse 1.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 3rd, 2026, marching right along into this new month, the 3rd, and it's our first Friday, the great opportunity for us to walk in cadence with the Lord's leading. Hopefully today you've been in God's word and you've prayed up, Lord, order my steps. Help me have those divine appointments. Help me be attentive to your leading. And today, I hope we're all going to be especially attentive to a prayer that the Lord taught his disciples and will be even teaching us today through Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church here in Springfield. We're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer for the next number of weeks and today laying some of the groundwork, some of the principles. So there'll be additional readings of Scripture and I'll give you some highlights. We already heard from June, Matthew 6:1, but we'll look at Matthew 6:2-4, Matthew 6:5-8, and Matthew 6:16-18, all in this wonderful chapter about giving to the needy, learning about the Lord's Prayer, fasting, treasures in heaven. It's a great portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. And so today we're going to set some groundwork for learning more about the Lord's Prayer.
Hey, Mark, it's great to be here today, and I just want to take a moment and speak to all of those who are listening in the morning. If you're listening in the afternoon, this may not apply to you, but if you're listening in the morning, you can still find a good Friday service in your area someplace, and I want to encourage you to go out to it and think about what Christ did for us at the cross. All of our sins are covered at the cross. We are made perfect by the work of Christ on the cross. And I just want to encourage you to find a place to go and just gather with other believers and just think about what Christ did for us on the cross. And then, of course, the next couple of days are Easter services. There'll be services some places on Saturday night and many on Sunday morning. I want to encourage you to get out and go and be at an Easter service someplace this year.
Yeah, no, Mark, we talked about that a few weeks ago, and actually repeatedly, this is a time to be praying up. Who's that neighbor, that coworker, that person down the street? I've thought about a guy, and he works at a chef's kitchen in a grocery store, and the Lord's put him on my heart, and I'm hoping that in the next day or two, I can meet up with him again and invite him to church. I just feel like God wants me to invite him. So listening, friend, be praying. Who might God have you bring to church? Pick him up or offer to treat him to lunch after. Afterwards, but this is a great time when many people are receptive and they'll go to church if they're asked. So we're hoping and praying. And I don't know if you noticed yesterday with Maundy Thursday, but a lot of the music on the Great News Radio Network was at the cross and the shed blood. It's kind of a mournful, contemplative time to think about the suffering of Christ. And so that was kind of a hard day for music because I didn't want to have the Hallelujah Chorus and Resurrection Sunday music until Sunday. And so over the next few days, you might hear a little mournful, reflective kind of music. But then come Sunday, oh, Resurrection, there's so many great songs. So rejoice that God will use this radio ministry in the coming days as people are traveling and maybe they'll tune into one of our 21 stations and hear the good news message of Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about, words that Jesus conveyed to his disciples and to all of us.
You know, Mark, I would just kind of stretch that a little bit and say, you may have a friend who lives hundreds of miles away from you. They can't go to church with you, but you can send them a text and just encourage them. Hey, go to church on Easter Sunday. Hey, I'm going to call you Easter Sunday afternoon and see if you went to church. Just encourage them to go find some place and learn more about what Christ did for us. Mark, we've been talking here for the last number of weeks out of the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been talking about the Beatitudes. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, let me just remind everyone, it's Jesus's information to us, if you will, on how his kingdom works, on how our relationship with God works. So he starts off with these eight Beatitudes. Each one points to the nature of a true follower of Christ and what blessing Christ brings into their life. Then Jesus moves into two challenges to the church. Be the salt of the earth and be the light of the world. And then Jesus gives us six corrective statements. He's looking at how Scripture has been twisted, how religion has been twisted, and he says in those statements, you have heard it said, but I say to you, and he corrects the way we think about things in our faith. But where we're headed to right now is what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. Now, I would tell you it's really the Lord's instruction in prayer. His prayer is really written later in John when the great priestly prayer is prayed. But we're saying this up here to learn something about the kingdom of God. And he begins what we call chapter 6 with three assumptions, three statements where he just has something that he assumes we will do. So can anybody in here tell me what is an assumption?
A preconceived idea of the statement or phrase.
You know, it's interesting, Liz. We think of some things that are unspoken assumptions. We really get in trouble when we have unspoken assumptions. We assume somebody's going to do something. We assume they're going to act a certain way. And then we get disappointed because it was unspoken. Jesus gives us three spoken assumptions. So it's kind of like this. If I said to my son, you're home today, when you're cleaning your room, when you're cleaning your room, take all your dirty clothes down to the laundry and get the laundry started. There's an assumption in there, isn't it? When you're doing this. So we want to look at three things that Jesus says that begin pretty quickly in them. They start with these words, when you. Not if you, when you. So, Tim, I'm going to ask you to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 2 through 4. And listen for those words with us as you're listening, wherever you're driving or listening to this. Listen to those words, when you.
So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by the people. I assure you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you.
So, did you hear the when you's? The whenever you, when you, it's an assumption. Jesus is looking at this great crowd of people there at the Sermon on the Mount. All kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different resources. But he is assuming and presenting to them, you're going to have the opportunity to give to people in need. Now, in every one of these, he's giving some correction and direction to how we do these things. And we'll talk about that hopefully a little bit later today. But he says to us, when you give to the poor. So my challenge to everyone listening is, when do you give to the poor? What do you do to help people who are less fortunate than you are? You know, it doesn't have to be massive amounts of money. You may not have those resources, but it can be something. You may have massive amounts of money. Is it a right offering that you're giving to help those that are less fortunate than you? God has blessed you with a lot. You're responsible for a lot. Are you helping people who have less than you do? Jesus is assuming we will.
I think that there's a corrective also being given by telling the entire crowd, you know, and just assuming that they're all giving to the poor, is whereas the human instinct is to look up and see there's always someone with a little bit more than me, he's instead saying, no, look down. There is always someone who's worse off than you are, and that is who you should be helping.
And I also think it's not always necessarily just financial. It could be your time. It could be taking them to the store. It might be dropping off something. It might be doing chores for them or assisting in various ways. So maybe you don't have the resources, but do you have time? Or you can pray for the individual or the circumstance. There's just so many different ways to give.
You know, Mark, when my wife had our son, 3 months before he was born, the doctor said, you can go to the hospital or you can go home and go to bed for 3 months. And all of a sudden, our world was turned upside down. We had three other children at home at that time, busy schedules. and all of a sudden she's in bed for 3 months. Mm. And so many people stepped up. I remember a couple ladies in our church came to me and said, we want to bring some meals over and arrange for certain things for you. And I said, no, I got this. It's okay. And my mom came to me shortly after that and said, these people want to help you. Don't turn them away. You know, let them help you. And boy, our church just poured out so much. People came over and they mopped the floors in our kitchen. They cleaned the house. They took our kids to go swimming that summer with them and go do different things with them. It wasn't all money. In fact, there was very little money. But there was a lot of blessing that came from people bringing a meal, bringing a dessert. I didn't need the desserts, but they were great. You're taking our kids someplace. You can do something. Mowing our yard, just helping us take the burden off. If there's somebody out there around you and they've got a burden in their life and you can lighten that load, it doesn't answer their problem, but it lightens the load.
I think Rick Warren gave an example some years ago, but when his son passed away, a neighbor, a Muslim neighbor actually, took his garbage can out to like the driveway or the end of it and said, no, you're not going to drive to church. I'll drive you to church. And I thought, wow, this was a Muslim neighbor that just cared for him. So there's so many different ways, listening friend, that you can serve.
So many ways. And just be open. Let the Spirit of the Lord will speak to you. Mm-hmm. If you pay attention and you see somebody in need, don't just stop there. Pray for them. And then pray, God, what would you have me do? Mm. It may be a little thing to you and a big thing to them. Mm. So that's one of the assumptions that we read here in chapter 6, is that we're going to be a people aware of needs around us. And we're going to pay attention and we're going to respond to those needs and do something. Now, let's go to the second one. The second one is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And Liz, are you going to read that for us?
I am. Thank you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
That is great. Did you listen to the wins? The win here is when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. It's not something that just happens occasionally. This is something that God is teaching us, that we have this great privilege of lifting up our needs and lifting up the needs of the world to the one who can meet every need. So when we pray, and we're going to spend the next several weeks looking at what Jesus taught us about how to pray, when we pray. How do we approach God? He starts a little bit of it right here when he says, it's not a bunch of rote prayers. It's not a bunch of memorized prayers. We have this personal relationship with God, that prayer can be led by the Spirit of God in us, led by our desires and our heart's concerns, and we can lift those things up to God and pray and seek Him and believe Him for an answer. And so this is the second assumption that we have in here, is this assumption of when we pray. Now, we'll start with assumption number 3. Stan's going to read this for us, starting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16.
Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
There you go again, when you. So hear it, when you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast. The assumption of Jesus to us, the instruction of Jesus to us, is that we are going to do these things, and that all of these things are acts of righteousness. They are simply the right thing to do. When we do these things, we are doing the right thing. We're doing something that is pleasing before God, is glorifying to God, reflects the nature of God, because we're helping someone in need, we're seeking Him for answers, and we're coming before Him humbly. So Jesus corrects the way this happens. He tells us in every one of these verses, He points out something that poisons the righteousness. He says, when they are centered on us, when we give to the needy to get glory for us, all of a sudden the righteousness is lost. When we pray to be a show instead of praying humbly to God, when we pray to draw attention to ourselves, when we fast and we put on, you know, the gloomy face and the, oh, woe is me, I'm fasting, and it's about us, instead of about us functioning wisely in the kingdom of God, humbly trusting Him, not looking for glory or honor for ourselves because, look at me, I'm fasting. You know, look at me and the way I pray. Look at me and the way I give to the needy. But we're doing that humbly, quietly, without any attachment to it to get something for ourselves. That's when it becomes righteous.
And this assumption, these would have been commonplace, known things to everyone. They would have been practiced, understood. And so sometimes I come across people, it's like, oh, I've never fasted. And not that I or others are any better because we've practiced that or done that, but it's sometimes amazing. You've never even fasted a meal or a day or 40 hours or a week or whatever the fast may be. But listening friend, I guess I want to share a little healthy conviction, but if you've never practiced any of these, it is a good discipline and you will be rewarded, and God wants you to kind of grow up and experience some of the blessings of surrendering to Him.
Mark, when you see a great need and you feel helpless, that's a call to fast. When you look and you have a friend who's suddenly facing cancer, you're not a cancer surgeon, you're not a cancer doctor. There's very little you can do. You can pray for them. You can serve them in some way by helping with them with a need. But if we want to take that the next step further, we have the power to sit and say, I'm so concerned about this, I'm going to lay my own pleasure and desires aside to focus on this need and to cry out to God. I think as Christians in America today, we should just look at the state of our world, the state of our nation today. And that should draw us to say, I've got to do something more. And so God gives us that opportunity to fast.
You touched on this a bit, but if you could go in more detail about fasting is more than just not eating. There's more to it than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're praying during that time. We're setting our life aside during that time. And we're seeking God during that time. So yes, it's setting something aside, like food, and saying, I'm not going to eat today. I'm not going to eat tomorrow. I'm going to set this aside. And we look in the Bible, if you ever want to just kind of seek this out and learn, you can just go into the Bible and look up fasting, and you'll see the men who fasted for days, even Jesus fasted for 40 days, that were getting ready to set up new ministry in their life, new direction in their life. So again, I would just say if you're looking for direction, like you don't know what career you want to do, you're a young person, you're kind of wandering around lost, maybe you need to set some time aside and fast and say, God, show me direction in life.
Yeah, there's always that intentionality. That's the two words I wrote down, and a purpose behind it. So you don't just go into a fast blindly. You many times are intentional on what are you going to pray for specifically. Are you going to give up a meal? Or maybe it's that social media time, or maybe it's a habit or a practice or a hobby that you're going to just lay away for a little while and focus on the Lord. That's always the intention. God's the priority during that time.
Yeah, Mark, in my life, I pray every day. I don't fast every day. That word intention is exactly right. I fast for a purpose. The church, we may call for the church to fast. Let's take a couple of days and let's fast for this. Or let's set some time aside to pray about this great need that we have. Intentionality, purpose, we're seeking God for something and we're asking for Him to move. And so I would encourage everyone to do that. We see that with Ezra when they're coming out of Babylon, and he's told the king, yeah, God's going to be with us. And now they've got to make this big journey with all this money that they're going to have with them, all these resources they're going to have. And they're going, wait a second, somebody may come rob us. Somebody may come try to kill us, but I'm embarrassed to go tell the king. We need soldiers to go with us because I've told the king God's going to take care of us.
Yeah.
So what do? He calls a fast. What does Daniel do when he's heard that the king is going to kill all the wise men if they can't answer his prayer? He gets his friends around him. He says, let's fast and pray, and God's going to give me an answer. And he got an answer because he set that time aside to seek after God.
Wasn't it Mordecai, too, to get to Esther? You know, we need to pray over this.
And yes.
I think there's so many illustrations of times to fast and to seek God and to be intentional and purposeful. And I like where you said, Mark, Pastor Mark, how somebody with cancer, you know, it's beyond us. Yeah, we can serve them. We can maybe financially support or assist. But when you pray very intentionally for that individual and really focus on the Lord, and part of the fast is when you have that hunger pain or you're suddenly remembering, oh, I don't get to have lunch today. Well, then that's the reminder to pray right then and there over this person or situation. So it's a healthy reminder when you go without something. It reminds you, gosh, I'm hungry. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm fasting.
You know, so earlier in the passage, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about, calls us to be the salt of the earth, which is a preservative. It preserves things. And so he also talks about being the light of the world. So we are to use our authority to preserve righteousness, not to participate in unrighteousness, but we are to listen to the word and follow the Spirit. We've just seen this happen. It's very evident for us right now. One of the star basketball players on the Chicago Bulls made a righteous stand this week, and they fired him for actions detrimental to the Chicago Bulls. He was saying what is truth. I'm praying God blesses him in a great way. So remember, when we're walking through this earth, we need to remember that we cannot bring about God's way by breaking God's principles. So in the way we speak, in the way we vote, where we vote for righteousness, and all of these ways, we are to work to preserve righteousness. And we pray for that, we seek that, and we recognize that's going to go against the grain. But now we come back to giving to the needy and being the salt of the earth. That brings the light to bear, and we want to bring the light to bear.
Oh, listening friend, I hope you're encouraged by our conversation, by Pastor Mark's preparation, as he's been excited to share about the Lord's Prayer. And today we really wanted to lay some great groundwork looking at Matthew chapter 6. And the next week and the following weeks after that, we'll be going word by word, verse by verse, through the Lord's Prayer, what he taught his disciples and what he wants to teach us today, that intimate relationship to converse with God, to listen to God, to approach him, and methods and means and ways to approach him properly. So I hope you can continue to join us for the future Fridays during Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org and WLUJ.org and click on the Mark and Friends link, and you can listen anytime and also paste it into an email and send it on to a friend. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend. And get to church, everyone, and invite a friend.